Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another exciting episode of Movie Geeks United. Tonight, the Movie Geeks welcome the CEO of Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Alan Levy. Plus, the stars of the new film, Scout's Honor, Tony Zenzamici, and Morgan Craven. Got a question for the geeks or any of tonight's guests? Give us a call at 718-508-9477 or log on to our chat room now. Are you ready to get your geek on? Here are your hosts for tonight's episode of Movie Geeks United, Jamie and Jerry.
Welcome to Movie Geeks United. It's going to be a great show tonight, this Wednesday night show. Jerry, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I've got a little cold going, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, that's been going around. I got some of that too. I'm sorry for the little delay there. I think we're both on and we're all set up and ready to go tonight.
I can hear everything.
Well, that's good.
No, I can't.
To introduce ourselves, my name is Jamie and Jerry.
My name is Jerry.
We're the two co-hosts of Movie Geeks United. Our third co-host, Chris, is on hiatus this week. It's a whole kind of medical school thing he's invested in, and that takes up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really excited about tonight's show because a lot of people come to visit us and listen to our show. They either come to the Blog Talk Radio website or they visit our MySpace profiles where we have the show running or our blogs. Some of our listeners even have our show on their own websites and blogs. So we wanted to give everyone an opportunity to hear from the CEO of Blog Talk Radio tonight what exactly Blog Talk Radio entails, what it is, how easy it is to set up your own show. You know, you can we're not technical wizards here. Very simple and easy, and anyone with anything to say has a forum on Blog Talk Radio. So we wanted to open up the discussion tonight about what Blog Talk Radio is and your place in Blog Talk Radio, because it's really open to everyone. So it's going to be an exciting show tonight. And the big news in Hollywood starting yesterday is the Independent Spirit Awards. Just want to mention this at the top here. The Independent Spirit Awards are kind of like the independent version of the Oscars. Would that be fair to say?
I think that's definitely fair.
Yeah, they air the day before the Oscars.
And especially with the nominees this year, I think that's a very fair analogy.
Yes, and all of us at Movie Geeks United, we have interviewed three of the nominees for this year's Independent Spirit Awards over the past couple of months, including Kelly Masterson, the screenwriter who got nominated yesterday for the movie Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. And actually, he just sent me a note. He sent me a note to tell me how much he loved doing the show and how he sent the link to everyone he knows.
No, that's
and how
great.
Excited he is. He says he's excited. It's nuts. And he's going to get Oscar nominations and everything.
Yeah, to have that as your first script is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an amazing film.
It is amazing. Yeah, and have Philip Seymour Hoffman and reading your dialogue.
Yeah.
Robert Finney.
Yeah.
Amazing. But you can check out those shows with Kelly Masterson and fellow Independent Spirit Award nominees Craig Zobel, the director of Great World of Sound, and Aaron Katz, the director of Quiet City. Over the course of the past few months, if you just look through our archives, you'll find great interviews with them and people like Brian De Palma and the director John Badham, the actor Joe Pantoliano, Oscar winners like Howard Shore, and just on and on and on. And let me tell you a little bit about what we have coming up throughout the month of December, because we're booking people right and left. This Sunday we have Anthony Artis, who is the author of the book Shut Up and Shoot Documentary Guide. So anyone out there interested in documentary filmmaking, he's the one to talk to. On the 5th of December, we have actor Raymond J. Barry, who is one of our great character actors. I mean, we're talking Dead Man Walking, Born on the 4th of July, and you know what I realized? Year of the Dragon.
That's right.
Mickey Rourke.
That's right. He's great in those scenes with Mickey Rourke. He's wonderful.
He's an amazing, amazing actor. And then on the 9th, we have two founders of Palm Star Entertainment. It's a brand new motion picture production company that's starting up, and they have purchased they've optioned some really high-profile books, and it's fascinating what they're going to do with those. And also the author of The Writer's Journey, Chris Vogler, And then we actually have a Ghostbuster on the show December 12th, Ernie Hudson. And he's great. So
he's awesome.
Very excited about having him on the show. And we're in the process of booking some really great high-profile people. And I can't spill the beans on them yet because they're not 100%. But it's going to be an exciting December for all of us here at Blog Talk Radio. So are we ready to get started tonight, Jerry?
Yes, we are.
Okay, let's get this thing going. We're really excited about this tonight. All of us at Movie Geeks United are thrilled to welcome our first guest because without the work of this visionary pioneer, our show would not exist. Alan Levy is the CEO of Blog Talk Radio, the platform that serves not only our show, but thousands of other shows with topics ranging from politics to the paranormal. With Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Levy has opened the portals to a new and exciting world for amateur bloggers and broadcasters throughout the web and has created a network that thrives upon an unrivaled user-friendly simplicity. Within a few short minutes, anyone can host their own show on the network. All you need is a computer and a telephone, and you are on your way. Mr. Levy has his own show on the Blog Talk Radio Network that you can find at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. That's L-E-V-Y. The Blog Talk Radio service is just the latest impressive endeavor in a professional life marked by a wealth of tremendous accomplishments. Tonight, he's here to tell us how it all began and what the future holds. We are honored to welcome to our show tonight Mr. Alan Levy. Mr. Levy, hello.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for that great introduction.
Well, thank you for being on our show. It's about time. It's great to have you on here.
Hey, listen, before we get started, can you send me that so I can use it for other purposes? It was so well written.
Yeah, anytime you enter your house, you want her to read, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
It was great. I couldn't do it better myself. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you so much. We're honored. Now, you've obviously accomplished so much in your professional life, and you're only in your 40s. But take me back to the beginning. I mean, did you have this entrepreneurial spirit even as a child?
Well, no, actually, I didn't. I was destined to be an accountant from my early years. And in fact, I did study accounting in college, and I got my CPA exam. I was an accountant for 13 years, which is really incredible considering that, you know, where my career has gone. And it was something that my parents always felt that accounting would be something good that I could use in any industry or any field that I went into. And I was good at math. I said, okay, fine. I really didn't think much about it. But when I got into accounting, I was actually very good in it because I would meet small accounting firms, and I would meet tons of people and just get into their businesses. So I would help exporters or insurance companies or law firms, and I would always want to understand what they were doing and what made those businesses tick. So while I was an accountant and I handled their things, what I was really interested was the business,
right?
And the business behind it.
Sorry, go right ahead.
No, go ahead.
Did you come from a kind of a business savvy family?
No, actually, I was the first person in my family that went to college.
Oh wow!
My dad was not. He was in the Navy, and then he sold apparel and for his father, and then he never went to school, and he became a dry cleaner. My mom never went to college, so I was really the first one in my family, the oldest of my siblings and my cousins and so on. And of course, that was this is the age, of course, we were all in college. So I that was the thing to do. And while I was in school, my uncle was a very successful executive with a supermarket company, and they always said, look how well he did, and he was an accountant, so, you know, you should be an accountant. And I said, okay, I guess I'll be an accountant. And that was the start. And in 1993, I was in accounting for about 13 years. One of my clients was around my age. I was, I don't know, I can't count right now, but in my low 30s, and he started a company called Viettel, which was an international phone company. And I was handling his stuff and for my firm, and I was just fascinated by it. He was a real entrepreneur. We were roughly the same age. I was around 30 years old, and I was an accountant. He was starting this business, and he asked me to join his company as CFO,
right,
of a telecom company. And I initially said no. I was too cautious. I said, you know, it's pretty good being an accountant. I'll learn a good living, and I'll always have a job, and things didn't work out at that firm I was with, and I was able to get in there 6 months later, and then I got into the telecommunications industry in 1993.
And you did very, very well in the telecommunication business.
Well, yeah, I did. I got into the telecom business in 1993, which was really when things started opening up in telecom. AT&T was deregulating. Europe was mandated for deregulation in 98, and I was given an opportunity to go into this amazingly rapid world of raising capital and hiring people and pioneering. Mm. And I joined this company, and in 3 years, I moved to London and raised around $100 million, and now I was outside of the accounting, and now I was in the telecom business, but again, a very fast-moving, very challenging environment, going competing against people like France Telecom and Deutsche Telekom. So that was a really informative time for me, and that took me to 96, is where I moved back to this country and answered an ad in the newspaper looking for a CFO, and this firm I joined had 30 people in the company.
Wow.
And in 3 years, I was president, and I coordinated this effort, $500 million of capital. And took the company from 30 people to 1,300, and from 2 countries to 10 countries. So I have a lot of experience scaling businesses, and which is clearly helping me as I scale this business.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So what inspired you to walk away from that area of that business and start Blog Talk Radio?
So there's a good gap in between. So in 99, so 96 I joined that company, as I told you, and in 99 May I went public. I took the company public.
Right.
And I had decided with my partner in the summer of 99 that business was tough, the market was at a top, and we have to sell. We sold at the high. I sold my company December 99, my telecom company, and for about $1 billion, including debt and equity and so on. And it was just an unbelievable experience. I mean, to go into this industry after being an accountant for 14 years in 1993, from starting from nothing, had $5,000 to my name in 93, to now, you know, ending that event and seeing what was going on in the market, just amazing. So I kind of took it easy for a few years, built a telecom company with my old partner as a silent partner, helped do that, and In March 2006 is when something occurred that changed my life, certainly, and really spawned Blog Talk Radio. My father was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma for the third time. He had gotten it back in 2000. And this was a rough one, and he was down in Florida, and he came up. I had him come up, and we knew this was it. And I said, "Dad, we're going to create a blog for you." So he said, "What's a blog?" I said, "Well, I really don't know. I never did a blog, but I keep reading about them, and I think it's a place where you can help others with cancer get through their illness."
Yeah.
You're a pro at it already. He said, "Fine, okay, well, great." So, you know, that night I went on Blogger, created his blog, which still exists, and I came in the next day, and he says, "Wow, my picture's there." And I said, "Yeah, let's start writing." And family and friends started posting, of course, to a blog. And I was amazed by this blogosphere. 50 million blogs. I said, where have I been?
Right, right.
And everyone was talking about conversation. You know, they're having conversations. I'm looking for the conversation because I'm a phone guy.
Right.
I said, "Well, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if bloggers can actually have conversations with their fans?" And that's how I started Blog Talk Radio.
It's brilliant. And
it is.
And I want to go through for everyone out there listening how easy it is to start your own show. And it really is simple because, like I said, I'm no technological genius here, and it was a little intimidating at first. But I found that once I registered, and there's nothing to download, there's nothing you need except a computer and a telephone.
Yeah, it's very easy, very user friendly.
A matter of minutes, you could be on the air.
Yeah.
If you was that the main strategy behind Blog Talk Radio to make it as user friendly as possible?
Well, the key. You know, yes, that was very important. You know, so when we started the company and said, "Now we have this idea, we think it's interesting, and first of all, is anyone doing it?" Well, the answer was no. I mean, Skypecast had something, but, you know, I had not like how that worked, and there were these idle conversations going on. I said, boy, we got to really create something that people are going to build around and invest their time in. And then if we can create this platform where we make it very easy for people to do it, and it's free, and there's no download required, well, you remove all the barriers.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got to target bloggers or people that have communities that they're already reaching out to through written word, text. And so that's how we started. So we literally had no host, no content, nothing. We had I bought blogtalkradio.com for $9.99 on register.com.
Mm.
I created the words. There was zero reference points for Blog Talk Radio and Google. And now if you put in Blog Talk Radio and Google in one word, it's about 1.2 million in the last year. And that's what. But the key was here. We wanted to ensure that people can have a conversation. We wanted to make sure it was streamed so anyone could hear it and that we could archive it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the essentials, and that it would not require a download.
What do the statistics say about podcasting? Is the awareness of the podcast medium widespread?
Okay, so it's a good question, and I have to admit to you that when I launched this, I had no idea what a podcast was.
Yeah.
I never even heard, I rarely even heard the term. I only learned what a blog was 3 months prior. So I never thought about, I don't consider us podcasters. What I consider us are broadcasters.
Right.
We're having a live conversation, and not everyone is going to be listening to it live, but it's more engaging because you don't know what's going to happen. Someone could call in, like, let's say, Jack Nicholson or something.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to call in any minute. And
yeah.
You
guys surprise me. Nothing will surprise me with you, and Jack Nicholson probably will come on your show.
That'd be great.
That
we're trying to get him, believe me.
Yeah, I'm sure, but... if I could help you in any way, please let me know. But anyway, so that's how it works. It's easy to do, and anyone could come on, and it's very open. And you create an environment where many of the listeners become hosts because
right.
Everyone has something to sell. Everyone has an idea to promote.
Yeah,
that's very true.
And so so it's been up and running for what now? It's been 16 months, or?
Yeah, so we launched really fully in September when we started archiving shows. Because
right.
Prior to that, we couldn't get the archiving set yet, and we were lucky enough to get TechCrunch to launch us to give us a name at least. And we had 200 people come to the sign up and register, and 2 days later we had 198 leave.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, one of the first hosts, host number 50, was the Los Angeles Fire Department.
Wow.
Yeah, and the LAFD is still a host if you go to blogtalkradio.com/LAFD.
Absolutely.
And I had lunch with the guy, the head PR guy at the Los Angeles Fire Department. He's an amazing guy, Brian Humphrey. And he loves blog. He's a geeky guy, loves technology, and he thought this was a platform that would have great implications. So, and great use. So the Los Angeles Fire Department. And when I got them in, I said, I think we may have something here.
Mm.
If the LAFD is interested, then interesting. That's interesting.
Well, you mentioned the LAFD. Tell us about some of your other high-profile hosts on the network, because obviously you have thousands and thousands of choices on Blog Talk Radio. That's part of what's so unique and great about it.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of this other programming.
Right. So we have so many. I mean, the amazing thing to me, if you go on a website and you go to Blog Talk Radio, on the nav bar, there's a best of BTR there. We were getting so many great hosts and guests, and you've brought in some incredible guests yourselves. We wanted to put them in one place where people could come and see, who's been on this network. And again, those people, the McCains, the Thompsons, the Brian DePalmas, I mean, those aren't every day. Every day are our, Dr. Anonymous, who's in your chat room
now.
Yeah,
he is.
Dr. Blogstein and Robin. And Turnberry. I mean, all these people are just, this is part of their lives, and I'm so happy by that, and it's very, very exciting to see that happen. So our number one host, largest host, is the Fly Lady.
Yeah.
She is an industry. Her name is Marla. I reached out to her in February, early this year, and to, pitch her, as I've sent out thousands of emails to people, hey, check this out. And didn't hear back until this summer. She called me up on the phone and said, I'm interested in your platform. I was a guest on a show. What's it all about? And I told her, and she said, this is the most incredible thing. It's so easy to do this. And now she's doing a show on Blog Talk Radio, and as I told you before the show, she was on my show yesterday, and she had 2,000 live listeners. We had 2,000 live listeners on our show, and she gets around 25,000 downloads per show.
That is amazing.
That is.
Well, she has 460,000 Yahoo groups on her in her Yahoo group. She's the largest Yahoo groups by 6 or 7 times.
Oh,
my
so
God.
She's amazing. And we're very lucky to have her on the network, and it's very exciting. But, you know, for the Fly Lady, then I have stories like the Newsday, which was an article in Newsday. Did you hear about the Long Island Hockey, the two kids from Long Island?
I did. I saw that article.
So, you know, 6 months ago, these two kids started doing, or maybe it was in the winter, started doing shows on Saturday afternoons about New York Islanders. And I was an Islander fan growing up. I grew up on Long Island.
Right.
And I said, but how cool is this? You know, a couple of kids doing a show about the Islanders. Well, they started getting on guests like the beat writer from Newsday, you know, on their shows. And they were doing it from their basement. These are teenagers and sophomores. And there was just an article on our homepage now. You'll see it. Newsday's Neil Best, Lord's Blog Talk Radio. These two kids were interviewed by Newsday, and this is their dream is to be on radio, and here they have a dream. They're fulfilling their dream.
Well, that's just it. There's a couple things I'd like to point out. First of all, this whole platform for me personally, it's ignited a brand new passion in me. And believe me, and I know I speak for so many of the hosts out there, hours and hours and hours a day committed to this show. It's given me something to feel very passionate and empowered by.
Oh, absolutely.
And secondly, your hosts, you know, the way that you've structured this format, your hosts really do the Blog Talk Radio advertising for you.
Yeah.
They spread the word through their thousands of shows.
Yes, exactly. And we haven't really even scratched the surface, and I'll tell you why. I mean, so it is true. It's amazing. The word of mouth has created this. So if you go into Google Blog Search and you type in Blog Talk Radio, which I do 12 times a day, I'm in there, I have it saved as a bookmark, I get alerts on when people blog about Blog Talk Radio. But if you go into Google Blog Search and you put in Blog Talk Radio, there's 63,000 blog posts. If you sort it by date, you can see that every hour and a half hour, someone else is blogging about their show on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen now is that we're when you create your shows on Blog Talk Radio, they're going to be blog posts, and they're going to be pinged for SEO. So this new site, not only is the new site much better in terms of community and the look and feel, but it's much better for SEO purposes. And that's one of the reasons that our traffic is growing and our listeners, and the site is just opening up. And that's what's really exciting. But you're 100% right. When you have thousands of hosts that are engaged and active, they just promote it to their communities, and then those communities get involved.
It just starts to spread like wildfire. And
right.
What's happening. I wanted to know something. What is an average day for you at Blog Talk Radio? What does that consist of?
That's a great question. Well, my average day starts at, hopefully it's not at 5:30 when I'm up, or you know, because I have too much on my mind about what I need to do.
Yeah.
If you think about Blog Talk Radio, has no office. First of all, there's no I haven't met 30% of the employees. I have not met. We have like 12 employees at this for this entire company, and they're amazing. I have to give kudos to every one of our employees.
I'm going to ask you about them, but just a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get into our employees, which I have they're amazing people. So. You know, hopefully I'm starting at like 6:30, and I end my day at 11 p.m. I do take breaks for dinner. I work from home.
Right.
I have dinner with my kids every night, which is great. And I'm either listening to shows at night, or I'm pitching, or I'm selling, or I'm promoting, or I'm just involved in everything. So it's a passion, obviously, for me. And I think it's important as the founder and my partner Bob, who works with me and helped me create this company. We're both. This is it. I mean, all of our employees, much like the host. I mean, it's really in our fiber now. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a major part of my life. But you've assembled, like you mentioned, a remarkable team around you, from advertising to promotions. And tell me a little bit about how you pick this team and the executive support.
Yeah, so you know, there's no boilerplate here. You know, I can't go in the store into some shop and say, "Let me have one of these Blog Talk Radio thingies." You know, we created a new medium, and we created positions that never existed. For example, our host liaisons or host support. I mean, that's, you know, they're helping our hosts. I mean, so this didn't exist. So I had in mind of building an organization, and when you build something like this, there are key functional areas that you need. So, you know, our employee number one was Amy Domestico, who I met back in September of last year, about a month after we launched. She wanted an interview for her Blue Doodle website, and she thought Blog Talk Radio was the coolest thing, and she interviewed me, and she has this website for writers and other people. And I did the interview, and then all of a sudden she was, like, on the website all the time and telling all her friends to be on the website. And I said, "Amy, you're amazing." And she goes, "Oh, I love this thing. It's incredible." I said, "Well, why don't you work for me? I need help." So she said, "Okay, you know, so great." So she introduced me to John Sweet, who is our customer liaison, our host liaison. He runs the customer service, does a great job.
Oh, yeah.
And then we started, you know, bringing in, you know, more and more people. And then I said, "Okay, well, we need a features editor." And Hillary is amazing, and you know her.
We love Hillary, yeah. Hillary and Luke, we adore here.
Right. So Hillary is our features editor. So if you look, I'm building a media company, really, if you think about it.
Mm.
And therefore, you need the core of a media company is content, it's PR, it's advertising, it's marketing. Lisa Padilla is our marketing VP. She does an amazing job. I mean, she helped design this entire website and coordinates, you know, and really moving us into social media and a lot of incorporating these social tools. She lives in San Francisco. And then I also focused on, you know, getting in people to run our key areas of talk radio. So, for example, political talk radio is, you know, with Rush Limbaugh and what's gone on with Air America, so huge. So Ed Morrissey is our political director, and he was a huge blogger who we reached out to, and ultimately he left his job as a call center manager and joined us full time.
And talk about where Blog Talk Radio has made a significant impact. It is in the world of politics. I mean, especially with the campaign in full bloom right now, the guests, the politicians that we've had on Blog Talk Radio has been astounding.
Yeah, I've been very happy with it, but it's really only started. We're announcing next week that the National Republican Senatorial Committee, the NRSC, and the NRCC are going to begin using Blog Talk Radio to promote their candidates. We have Pajamas Media, which is the largest aggregator of conservative blogs in red counties now. This is a new medium and it's a new platform, and we've made some inroads, certainly. We've only been around a year, of course. So I'm expecting, you know, future elections, this is going to be a much, much more important element in those elections. But nevertheless, we've had some incredible content and hosts. And you know, when Duncan Hunter running for president, I reached out to him in February. The site was only up for 4 months, and we got his first interview. He was on a golf course in Myrtle Beach, and he announced he's running for president the day before, and he called in, and we chatted.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Where do you see this going? What do you see as the big picture in Blog Talk Radio's future?
So, you know, there's a number of things that's happening. You know, the Blog Critics just joined. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah,
Blog Critics Radio. And Blog Critics Radio is a site. Blog Critics is a site that's been up, blogcritics.org. It's an online publication magazine. They have thousands of writers. They're syndicated globally. You know, they were really interested in an audio solution, and now they're using Blog Talk Radio. So we're creating stations for these large websites and these large online communities to have an audio platform. So while the network still will evolve, I see larger communities coming onto the network because I feel, and you and our hosts, I think, do, that we have the easiest solution that one could have for audio. And you know, we are doing a great job in building our community, but think about it when very large communities say, "Hey, you know, we could use this in our community." And now you open this up to, you know, tens of thousands of shows. I mean, who knows? So we just got to hang on to our bootstraps and enjoy the ride.
Well, before you leave, tell us about the show that you host. You're on four times a week, is it?
Yeah, it's about four times a week. We just launched after 2 weeks ago, after I came back from Blog World Expo. Hillary and I do it. Hillary Lee Wong, our features editor. And it's really a show to profile a lot of our hosts on Blog Talk Radio and then other special guests that we have. So I do it at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have next week coming up some very big social media people. Chris Brogan, who's a top guy in social media, he'll be a guest. Brian Solis is a top PR guy out in San Francisco. He'll be a guest on a special show on Sunday. And Matt Mullenweg, who's the founder of WordPress, is going to be.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be on my show next week. So we have him on the show, too. So, you know, I reached out to Garry Kasparov, who was the former chess champion.
And he was imprisoned.
He's in prison now, and he can't make the show, but he said he's interested in coming on in March.
Well, let's hope he's still. I hope he's still here so he can do it.
I hope so too. So, you know, I mean, that's it. So, you know, we're really open the show up for promoting the host. This isn't about Alan Levy. It's really about you and all of our.
Well, let's. Before we go, let's just mention that your biggest guest of all will be appearing.
True.
We'll be appearing on your show.
How did I
forget
that?
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd mention it. That's on December 13th.
That's right.
On the at 3 p.m. Eastern, right?
We're
doing it at night.
I think we're doing it at night. 8 p.m. Eight Eastern. I think we're trying to schedule for.
8 p.m. Eastern. I'll make sure it's in my calendar for sure, and we'll get you on the show and get to the really understand who the movie geeks are. We need to unwrap this mystery.
I will lie down on my couch and you can analyze me.
Yeah, really.
We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Mr. Levy, we cannot thank you enough for what you've done. Your entrepreneurial spirit is so inspiring to all of us, and it's caught on to us like a fever, and we can't thank you enough.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you, Mr. Levy. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That is Alan Levy, CEO of Blog Talk Radio, founder of Blog Talk Radio. An amazing vision, and it's one that has definitely enriched our lives.
Oh, I, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, if you think about what we've been able to accomplish and what all the other hosts have been able to accomplish out there and what anyone listening at home can accomplish.
Right.
I mean, we're talking to our idols week after week, you know, the people that enrich our lives, that
right.
mean so much to us.
Absolutely.
And it's an empowerment that is available to everyone out there who's interested, who has something to say, who wants to engage in any sort of conversation. Blog Talk Radio is the forum for it.
That's right.
Are you doing okay there? I heard you coughing here.
I was coughing, yeah, sorry. I'm a little under the weather. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm feeling it, too. I'm trying to sustain a cough, so this isn't the Movie Geeks Hacking show.
I know. I'm trying my best, Tom.
But that's very exciting. So Movie Geeks will be on Mr. Levy's show Thursday, December 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern, because we do shows week after week, but we don't, and people get a sense of us, but people don't get a sense of, you know, what our personal lives are like, or
right.
who we really are and how we put the show together. So it'll be interesting. It'll be an all-out Movie Geek confessional.
Right. Are we on for the whole hour or the whole?
I don't know. As long as we're interesting. We'll
Great. All right.
Probably 5 minutes.
No, we'll be on all night.
Hopefully. We thank everyone out there for listening to the live broadcast tonight. Thank everyone that's out there in the chat room. We're not done yet. We got a great show left for you tonight, too. Let's get right to it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm very excited about our next guest tonight. I believe his story is a great inspiration to anyone who's ever dreamed about being an actor in the film business. Tony Zinzamici got bit by the acting bug at a young age. It wasn't until recently, though, after establishing a tremendously successful professional and family life, that Tony decided it was time to give his long-held dream the chance it deserved. Now he stands on screen alongside some of our most beloved action stars, like Stephen Bauer, Michael Ironside, and Chuck Norris. Those are tough guys.
Those are very tough guys.
His latest film, Scout's Honor, just celebrated its world premiere last week. Tonight he's here to tell us about that film, as well as his meteoric rise to becoming a working actor. It is a great pleasure to welcome actor Tony Zinzamici to our program. Tony, are you with us?
Yes, I am, guys. How are you tonight?
Hey there. Thank you for being on with us tonight. It's a great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much for having me.
I think your story is just great. You studied theater in college, correct?
Didn't actually study theater. I was involved with the theater group in college. I was a special ed major with a science background, and then had a little bit of the acting bug in me and was able to act in some theater production at the local college that I attended here in Lakeland, Florida, Florida Southern.
Right. Did you ever seriously consider making a go of acting as a career then?
Actually, it really kind of started off as a dare with some of my fraternity brothers that were actually in the production. So it was really kind of funny because there were actually three other fraternity brothers that were in it that were theater majors, and I was like, I could do that. And they were like, yeah, well, go ahead and try out for it. Mm-hmm. So I tried out for one of the productions, which was my first one, which was Arsenic and Old Lace, which was a fabulous play to do. And it was kind of an historic thing for us as a fraternity because there were four Sigma Chi's in one production at one time, so that was kind of neat. And actually fell in love with the stage, and I went on to do a couple of more plays there, which was my senior year. And when I graduated, I was still bitten by that bug, but I was only able to do very limited type of work when I graduated, and hence the sabbatical for so many years.
Yeah, but what about acting appealed to you then, and still does appeal to you?
Well, I think for a lot of actors, what you find, especially for me, was the way I train myself as an actor is, Tony Zinzamici's brain kind of really goes away, and I create a character that is, sometimes similar in of ways to myself, but a lot of times very different and, very far-reaching for me as an individual. So, you can create characters, be characters that you normally aren't going to be in your, in your daily, everyday life.
Yeah.
And to be able to create something, which can be a believability to people, that is the art of an actor, being able to take his craft, be able to create a character that is very believable in situations that you normally wouldn't be playing.
Yeah. That's it. I think my acting teacher at school always said it's behaving believably in unbelievable circumstances.
Exactly right. Yeah, sure.
So you went off and you started your own family and your own business. What's the business that you were in?
Basically, I've been in medical sales for 20-some-odd years since I graduated college back in the early 80s.
Yeah, and you've had tremendous success with that. But during all this time, did you think about acting? Was there a lingering feeling of, what if,
Sure. Yeah. Every time I would see a production or a play, I would and look at it and say, oh man, that's really good work by this person. Or you'd see something on TV, and most of the time, what you really see is real, true, and personal situations that you relate to, that you see on the screen, and say to yourself that, man, I could do that because that's actually happened to me.
Right.
And, and that's kind of what, people look at when they see things in their lives that, they can associate with and say, wow, I wonder if I could have done that. And that's basically what happened to me, is I kept having that and having that even more and having this later in life experience to be able to put forth that effort, to go do it has been tremendous.
So what kind of sparked that re-entry into acting as a serious kind of effort to get back into it as a career?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I was very fortunate to work under a gentleman by the name of Derek Johnson, who is very well known for his creation of the production over at Disney, Walt Disney World here in Orlando, Florida,
yeah, yeah.
And has orchestrated that for many, many years. And we were fortunate to have him at one of our local churches here in town as a consultant to us for our orchestra and our drama part of the church, and been able to act in a couple of plays that he wrote. And that really, which kind of inspired me to look at it again, and basically went to Derek and Carol Gilbert, who was our drama coach, director at the church, and really just point blank asked them both. I said, you know, you've seen me work in a couple of productions. You know, what do you think about me pursuing this in a professional manner? And they all gave me, you know, very encouraging responses, and that just kind of fueled the fire.
So you went back and you actually did further studying, didn't you? At that point, I see on your resume that you've studied with several teachers. Am I correct?
Yes, I have, and I still study. I study at a great school in Tampa, Florida called Performer Studio Workshop.
Sure.
Which, yep. it really is a tremendous process which we're studying. And we have to thank a person by the name of Eric Morris, who is very well known in the teaching area for actors, and what he does in educating, instructing actors to be something of a very organic nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we have done that in our class, and Kathy Laughlin over there has taken that, which Eric has done, and brought that to a new level within our training. And I love the process of what I do to create character and believability in a scene.
Yeah, and I have the acting bug too. So this is one actor to another.
Yeah,
I think that at its simplest, at its purest, acting is a form of communication. And I'm thinking about your years that you spent nurturing your own business. You know, to make a business work, communication is a large part of that as well. So,
yeah.
So do you think that the years you spent nurturing that business ultimately has made you a better actor?
Most definitely. You know, as a matter of fact, I was talking to a friend of mine just, you know, several hours ago, and, you know, he said, you know, I always wish I would have done it because, you know, he's in sales just like I have been all my life. And, you know, I got to talking, and I said, you know, Mike, you know, I think as a salesperson, that actually helps you to be a better actor because of your ability to stand up in front of either 1, 2, or 500 people to make a presentation, that has given you one level or two levels of available confidence that you need to be in this business to be able to perform in front of people, because that's what you're doing as a salesperson. You're performing.
Yeah. And plus, just on a level of life experience, I mean, it's probably a perfect time that you've reentered this arena, because you have so much more life experience under your belt than you did in college, and that can only help to inform the acting work that you do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as an actor, to be able to journal things in your life that you can recall to use in character development is such a big plus.
Yeah.
In my training that I do, because it's so important to be able to recall these instances in your life. Because, you know, it's not just about, you know, showing anger and showing sadness or showing, you know, something that affects you when you're on screen or on stage, but to actually go back and build that into your character, that what actually made that happen.
Right.
And that's what makes it so much different in what I do as an actor.
So tell me when the break came, when you kind of got your first movie role. How did that come about?
Well, I think probably one of my biggest successes would have been Scout's Honor, which is the one that we did early this year. And that was from Jimmy Fitzpatrick, who wrote and directed this film about a bunch of you know, young Boy Scouts, and as well as some young Girl Scouts that joined the troop and later became known as the Adventure Scouts. Being able to be cast as, you know, Memorex in this film was really, you know, a great opportunity because, you know, I am seen in some ways as the father figure. I am seen as the next door dad. And, you know, those are all well and good, and I love playing those roles. But it's nice to be able to step out of that and have a director say, you know what, I'm casting you as one of the motorcycle gang members.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're playing opposite Allstott and T.D. Hanna, too, and 7'2" Matt Geiger, and, you know, one of my idols, Jim Kelly from the Hall of Fame for football.
Right.
And, you know, and the rest of the Strata, and, you know, the guys that were there. So, you know, in knowing those guys, you know, they're going to come to set and, you know, they're going to do what they do as what they perceive themselves as being bikers are. And I knew I had to create a character that was so different. Otherwise, I'd get swallowed up by these guys, you know. And hence, when I started creating Memorex, you know, the director said, listen, you have full reign on how you create him, wardrobe, to whatever you want to do. And when I showed up on set, dressed like Memorex, you know, people on set that knew me had no idea it was me.
That's great.
It was. I mean, it really was. Yeah, it really was.
And obviously, I'm excited about this film. It had its world premiere last week, I believe, in Tampa. And you and I both are from the kind of that Tampa area. And just to have a film with some very prominent Buccaneer players, I mean, they're local heroes to us. So, so this is a major film. I read an interview with the director where he said that it's an important film for him because it's a film that fathers can take their sons to. Do you think that that's a real valuable point about Scout's Honor?
Oh, most definitely. I think Jimmy Fitzpatrick has hit the nail on the head with the Scout's Honor and the trilogy. You know that we're going to be able to do with this because fathers will go see it because of the time that they can spend with their kids. Parents can go with their kids, but also the fathers that are watching, you know, football people that, you know, they have grown up with or have watched on television for many years.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity.
Yeah. I was thinking about that when I read that quote, because, you know, there are great family movies out there, but I bet you that most of the time the mothers are the ones that take their children.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems like a terrific subject for kind of a father-son outing at the movies, you know.
Oh, without a doubt. And,
yeah.
And even my own kids, you know, that went to the premiere with us, loved it. They loved, you know, being around Allstott and, you know, looking up at, you know, Matt Geiger, that's like looking up at the sky. So, you know. It's like when Matt sees me and he hugs me, I feel like I'm getting, like, you know, getting hugged by a bear.
Well, I think it's a good time, speaking of young people, to introduce one of your co-stars from the film Scout's Honor. This young lady plays the role of Gigi in the film.
And yes, Morgan's a great little actress.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to have her on the show. Let me introduce her. This is Miss Morgan Craven. Morgan, are you there?
I am. Hi, guys.
Hey, Morgan. It's great to have you on the show. Tony's here, and
hey,
I'm Jamie, and Jerry's here as well.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So how old are you, Morgan?
I'm 14.
And you're already a movie star.
Yeah, wow.
That's something else. How long have you been wanting to act?
Well, I've been wanting to act since I was really little. I was about 10, but it took a while to convince my mom, so she finally gave in a few years ago.
Yeah, sometimes you need to talk them into it. But you've done a couple of films and commercials before Scout's Honor, too, right?
I have. I've done a few local commercials, and I've done some independent films like Holy War. I did that one. And there are a few others that I've done around here. And I actually went to Ohio, and I filmed a few things there. So I've been doing pretty good. It's fun, though.
Well, that's great.
Wow.
So tell me how this part came to you. How did you audition for it in Scout's Honor?
Well, actually, I am in a class with Jim Fitzpatrick, and our classes, we would perform in front of everybody, so that was our audition.
Oh.
He would give us pieces of the script like we would in a real audition. He filmed us like we did in a real audition, except for we did it while we were in class. And then he saw more performances from us in the other classes.
Yeah. Well, tell me about your character, your role in this movie. Gigi, is it?
Yes, it is. My role is Gigi, and she's a really independent, smart, spunky girl, and she goes for what she wants and ends up in the movie. I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but it's what she wants.
So, Tony, tell us, I know you described your character, the biker aspect of it, but tell us a little bit about what the story entails and how what kind of roles you both play in it.
Well, you know, Morgan definitely hit her character right on the nose with, you know, how she's portrayed in the film. And, you know, us bad old bikers, you know, we're a pretty tough bunch of guys, and we really weren't going to take much, you know, problems from these young kids, but they really proved us wrong, so we had a lot of work cut out for us in this film.
Yeah.
We ended up beating you up.
Yeah, that one scene where you guys tied me up with that that net by dragging me out of the pool and raking me over the side of that concrete was a...
So tell me about Jim Fitzpatrick, your director. Morgan, if you can go first, what do you like about him as a director? How did he help you?
Since he was also our acting coach, if he wanted a scene to be done a certain way, then he could just tell us what he wanted, and it wasn't like a question of what he wanted. He knew what he wanted, and he told us that, so that way we could portray it in that different way.
Yeah.
And he's just a really nice, down-to-earth guy, and he's fun to talk to, so he was just easy to work with and without any stress.
Yeah, and Tony, you said that he allowed you the freedom to kind of create your character, you know, just free reign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really did appreciate that. You know, one thing with Jimmy, he's an actor's director.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is he's able to talk to an actor in terms that actors understand in order to pull something out of that actor or to put a little bit of a twist in a particular scene. Like Morgan just said, you know, he'd tell you what to do and then you'd go back and do it. Jimmy just got a really knack for being able to talk to an actor and give you that vision that he sees in terms that you can understand to be able to you to go back and create that.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is a big thing for an actor when you can work, you know, and have that type of synchronicity with a director.
Absolutely. And it must have been exciting at that premiere the other week. I want to ask both of you, starting with you, Tony, how exciting was it to sit in an audience and watch your face up there on the big screen?
Particularly, I'm not one that really likes to watch films after I do them. So, you know, being in a premiere and watching myself, you know, I'm always constantly, you know, critiquing myself and saying, you know, I really maybe should have done this a different way. So I'm always forever trying to recreate and reinvent the wheel. But it was enjoyable seeing the film, especially the reactions of all the guests and people that were there to support the film and the charity Mason-Dixon's Christmas Wish Fund.
Yeah.
And seeing their reactions, how much they loved the film.
You know, that's not a rare thing. Actors being very uncomfortable watching themselves. I think, Jerry,
right.
You and I spoke to someone a couple of weeks ago that said that they never really watch
yes,
anything.
Yes, did,
like
yeah.
Can't recall who that was.
Yeah, but it's not uncommon. It's not.
Yeah, but
yeah, because you just, you know, you listen to yourself and you're like, gosh, I sound terrible. How can people like me? And do I really look that way?
I hate the sound of my voice. So
right, exactly.
Yeah. I hate it. I really hate the sound of my voice.
Morgan, how about you? How did you feel about watching yourself up there on the big screen?
Well, it was kind of an interesting experience, and the movie was really good. So while I was watching it, and I went along with the story, even though I already knew what it was. But the one thing that I was really not liking was that I had braces then. I have my braces off now, but I had them on in the movie. That was really
if only they could go back and reshoot.
Yeah.
That's going to kind of happen with, you know, the sequel, Scouts Honor Strikes Twice.
Yeah, what are the plans for that one?
Well, Scouts Honor Lightning Strikes Twice will be done at the Ice Palace. And it's we're going to have the same group of bikers back with some other notables you know, maybe like Dan Marino and Wayne Gretzky and Dan Roethlisberger, Ben Roethlisberger and Boomer Esiason. So there's a host of other pro athletes that may be coming and joining this next film. So we're looking forward to that, where the scouts are going to be involved with the Lightning, and they're going to be involved with the Stanley Cup. And I think as us bikers, we might just have a little bit of an attitude where we need a little bit of revenge, and I think we might want to get that Stanley Cup.
Oh, you're not going to get it. I'll keep it from you.
Well, you keep thinking that, DB.
Morgan, do you have a favorite actress? Do you have someone whose kind of career you look up to and would like to use as a role model for yours?
I think one of my favorite actors is Reese Witherspoon.
That's a good one.
She's so funny. She portrays so many different characters, too, because she can do the dumb blonde, like in Legally Blonde, but then she can also do more serious roles. And you don't see her that much in the paparazzi, and she's just not one of those out there who just goes and parties, and she has a cool head, so
yeah,
she's one of models.
She's a really good actress, and she seems like a really genuine person, which I think is important. That's a good one to have. Tony, before we close up the interview, I had to ask you about another film that you did and some other people that you worked with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went on your website, and I see you arm in arm with Michael Ironside, talk about a guy that we love for being a tough guy on Creed. What was that experience like, working with he and Stephen Bauer, and what do you kind of take from them working with them like that?
Well, watching them work, you know, Michael is just, you know, he's been around for so long, and he's done so many films, and you know, and in this film, he was, you know, actually my extermination team that I called in to take care of, you know, this plant to really shut it down so we wouldn't have any more of these, you know, mishaps that we've had with some of the our test subjects in the plant.
Yeah, the movie is called Mutants.
Yes.
Okay.
And basically he came in, and just watching him on set, he just has that aura about him. When he walks on set, you know, he's the man.
He's one of those guys that holds the screen. He doesn't
have
to do anything.
Exactly, and you know, just watching him work was absolutely phenomenal, and you know, hopefully, you know, he'll be back for the sequel and this one as well.
So what's next for both of you, Morgan? Do you have future plans for another movie outside of Scouts Honor 2 when that starts shooting? Or?
Well, we're working on some other projects with Jim Fitzpatrick, and then I'm also doing some things like commercials and just the basic stuff that I've been doing for a while. So I have a lot coming, so I'm pretty glad.
So what's your favorite part of it? What's the part that you like most about shooting a movie?
It's a totally different experience than what you experience in anything else you do. And it's just a really good life lesson, and I have a great time doing it, and I meet so many different people, and it's just something that I really love to do.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you, and you sound like a fantastic young lady. And Tony, what's next for you?
Well, we're hoping that 08 is going to start off to be a pretty busy year. We're looking at you know, about four projects that I have in pre-production right now, and it looks like after the first of the year, there's a film that Jimmy Fitzpatrick is going to be doing called A Fonder Heart, which is an absolute wonderful story about a group of young teenagers in the 14, 15-year-old range, where I'll be playing a doctor that is involved in this young boy's life. And it has a tragic side to the storyline, but it also has a great storyline about a hard-nosed businessman that, you know, gets softened by the relationship he builds with a young kid in the bed next to him in a hospital.
Mm.
And looking forward to that coming out. It's a wonderful script.
Didn't I read that? Is that the one that Kevin Pollak is attached to?
Yes, I do believe so, that is. And there's several other names out there that they're looking at. And, you know, it's really going to be a wonderful script, and I think Jimmy's going to have a lot of success with it. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, Scouts 2 coming out in hopefully March or April, and then also another film that I'll be doing up in Louisiana, which will be the sequel for Mutants. So we're looking forward to that. And then people can also check out me on the IMDb, and check out the projects that I've got coming up. And there, please feel free to go see what I'm doing. And also, you know, check out my website, which is TonySensanici.com.
Okay. We'll make sure that they do it. And, guys, thank you both so much for being on tonight and sharing your stories with us. And, Morgan, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Well, thank you.
You're delightful. You both are welcome back anytime you'd like. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I really enjoyed it. And we appreciate what you do out there, because this is such a great avenue for people to understand what's going on in this industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Okay. You guys have a wonderful night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
That is
Gigi.
That is Tony Zinzamici and Morgan Craven, stars of Scout's Honor. It's a great, inspiring story.
Yes, it is.
It's never too late to follow your dreams.
No, that's wonderful.
You know, he's out there, and he's making a living. He's working with established people, and,
mm-hmm.
and Morgan just starting out 14 years old. And
I know, already a lot of credits to her name.
I know, that's great. It's wonderful. So it's great to hear a story like that every once in a while. Sunday night, we'll be back. We got a lot to talk about after we interview Anthony Artis, the author of the Shut Up and Shoot documentary guide. We need to get into some of the Independent Spirit Awards a little bit more, the Sundance lineup.
Right.
Jerry,
there'll be a lot of stuff to...
Yeah, that was just announced. That you filled me in on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about Sunday.
So we'll see everybody back here on Sunday. Thank you all so much for tuning in.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you later.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.